He's worthy of every praise that we could ever give Him. He's worthy of everything that we have to offer Him. You woke up with breath in your lungs, so let's give that one more try. Praise the Lord. God is so good. I want to welcome each and every one of you to Parish Christian Center this morning. I want to pray. You know, every time that the children of God meet together, there's something that the devil hates about that. But the Word of God says, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am right up in the middle of them. And so y'all bow your heads. God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I take authority over this service right now. God, I bind up anything, Lord, that would try to come against your children and steal the Word that you're trying to plant in them today. God, I pray right now about the spirit of addiction. God, that it's broken. God, for every single seat, Lord, that people are not here today and it's due to addiction. God, I ask right now, Lord, for you to do whatever it takes. God, to bring them back to your house. Lord, for the people, they say, if I go to church, I'm going to go to Parish Christian Center. God, I ask that you would stir their hearts right now in Jesus' name. God, if there be anybody in here today, Lord, where they're sick and they don't feel good, God, I ask right now for you to heal every infirmity right now, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you would go down every aisle, God, and minister peace and wholeness to every broken place in our lives, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just am excited about what God is doing. I thank God for all that He's doing. I want to tell you that you need to be encouraged this morning because God is working and God is moving. God is perfecting the things that are concerning you. If you came up here today and you have a broken heart, I want to tell you that God is in the middle of mending that brokenness right now. If you're in the middle of a disaster, I want to tell you that God is still the God that heals disasters. He's still the God that heals broken things. That's what He does best. So when the devil comes in and he tries to get you to think otherwise, believer, child of God, I want you to hold on to what he says. And he says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. So many times we feel like it's a matter of being good enough. It's not. God doesn't love us when we're only good. He loves us all the time. If you have a past, I want you to take a deep breath, because we all do. If you have something in your life that you did and you're ashamed of, I want you to have the courage today to throw that in the sea that Jesus threw it in, and that's called the sea of forgetfulness. I want you to let yourself off of that hook that you've held yourself onto, because God loves you and He's here to give you some peace and assurance today. If we could turn to Luke chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 34 through 36. And the older I get in Jesus, I've been saved since I was 7 years old. I'm 35 and I've never been a mathematician, so you can figure that out because I got nothing. I have no idea. What is it, 28? Thank you, Albie. Look here, I'm pretty, not smart. All right, I'm a smart aleck. Anyhow, but what I've noticed is a very common thread, and Kayla, many people are very troubled. These are hard times, but don't mistake yourself. Right up in the middle of a hard time, God is still there. David said in the Psalms, Lord, you enlarge my territory right up in the middle of my disaster. God, right up in the middle of the problem, you enlarged me even then. What does that mean? God made you bigger in the middle of when you thought you was going down. Look here, the devil comes to tell you everything's going wrong. God's trying to tell you everything's going exactly how it should because I'm turning it around. See, what you need is you need to realize what your situation needs is a touch of His favor. When we want to walk in doubt and unbelief, what we have to do is we have to make a decision. You're either going to trust God and give it over to Him, or you're not. And when you don't be surprised when the devil is able to torment you. Because that's what he does. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, it says, Be careful. Be careful We tell this to our children all the time. Now, be careful. Be careful. And here's God in His Word. And He says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation. What is dissipation? Well, dissipation is the act of breaking or scattering. And so what we see is the Word of God saying, now be careful, your hearts are going to be weighed down with breaking and scattering. Be careful. Don't let your heart be troubled. That's another verse. As crazy as it sounds, Brother Alvy, it's a choice. It's a choice. We can either choose to believe what God's Word says, or we can choose to believe what the devil says. The devil's the one telling you it's not going to work out. God's the one saying it's working out right now. I'm working it out. But it's a choice. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And what I see going on more now than ever before is drunk Christians. Some of us literally drunk. Now look, I know what's up. I'm not stupid, and I'm not naive. Some of us literally drunk. Kitty's looking at me like, what? Look here, Kitty. It only took 1 year to realize that. Some of us are spiritually drunk because here's what we're doing. We've got the devil's cup and the devil's booze, and we're sipping on that booze all day long. What is the booze? The troubles of life. The troubles of life. I'm here to tell you that it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. What does that mean? That means trouble comes for the Christian and for the heathen. Why? Because in this life, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. This world that we're living in is not perfect. I wish I could tell you that the moment that you got saved, that you had no more problems. I can't tell you that, and I'm not going to because I'm not a liar. But what I can tell you is that you have a God that will be with you when everybody else has left you. You have a God that will be there for you when everything looks awful, when everybody's turned their back on you, everybody that said, I'll be with you, and they all turned their back on you. You still got the God that says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. But the world as we know it, and regretfully, the believer, we got that cup. And Crystal, here's what we do. We wake up. Sister right here's going, well, that preacher's talking about drinking. You're darn right. Why? Because, see, I'm going to preach about reality. We got that cup. He said, getting no better. Oh, it for sure ain't getting no better. This ain't going to work out. We just keep it up. Sloppy drunk. My mama's in this service, so I ain't going to get into that too much. But we just keep it up. It's never going to get any better. That person's always been a jerk. I'm going to always be broke. I hate that boss. Hate him. Been there. And we keep it up. We keep it up. Till we're intoxicated by every problem that we've exalted above the name of Jesus. And what then happens is the heart gets weighed down and we walk around and we're spiritually drunk on life's problems. When you get spiritually drunk on life's problems, you begin to have anxiety. Why? Because, see, you can't even think clearly. Have you ever tried to pray and you've worried so much you think, God, I don't even know what to pray? That's what the devil does. He helps you to not be able to pray. Okay? And so we're going to talk about this today, because it's time for people to sober up, plain and simple. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. And if there's something that the devil likes to do, he loves to trap people in their own anxiety. Come on now. He likes to trap people in the disastrous, drunken state that they're in. And he'll trap them in it. He'll talk you into believing something that the devil had for you, and you'll be trapped up in that. That day will come upon you unexpectedly. You ever been going through life and you just something come up all of a sudden? You think, where did that come from? The devil is a snake. He'll get you. He'll slither around in your life, and he'll get in there wherever you let him, and he'll bite you, and you'll be thinking, where did that come from? That tiny peephole you let him in. And so it says, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch. Here's what's up. People are going through their lives, and they've become numb to where they cannot feel. How can I preach about this? Because I've lived it. Because I've lived it. You can't preach about what you don't know. But what you do know, you can preach on it very well. The whole world is numb, Kayla, to where they cannot feel anything. Except all of our problems that we're constantly getting drunk off of. See, the Word of God says, now drink from the living water, from the well. You'll never get thirsty again. But see, we're drinking out of the wrong cup. We're looking at that glass half empty. What we need to say is, God, you filled that half full and you're still pouring it in. And so it says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 13. And it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. Prepare your mind for action. Get it in your mind that you're going to move when God says move. Prepare your mind for action. God never created his people to be at a constant standstill. Some people dealing with the same problem for going on 30 years now. Why is that? Because they ain't prepared themselves to take some action to what needs to be done. Be self-controlled and set your hope fully on the grace to be given you. What are you supposed to set your attention to, Kayla? The grace of God. See, there's things that come up in our lives and we're going, now, God, how is that going to work out? God, it ain't working out. God, I don't know how this is going to happen because this is the worst thing ever. And God's saying, look here, turn all of your hope on the very grace that I'm giving this situation. There are times where the Word of God says that you get so weary, you don't even know what to pray. It's then when the Holy Spirit comes in there, he is the comforter. And he begins to intercede for us and to pray for us. There are things that I've gone through that were so awful. It was all I could do to come up in here and just to be. There are situations that you may be going through today and you're going, God, how are you going to fix this? God says, turn your eyes on me and know that my grace is sufficient for you. We're sitting here wondering how he's going to fix it, Mama Brenda. We're looking at that all wrong. What we need to say instead of that is, God, I thank you right now that you're fixing it. You got to get down and dirty with what the devil is trying to do in your life and take authority that he gave you in the book of Genesis when he said, now have dominion. He gave that to you from the very beginning. What is binding and loosing? The word of God says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That means, what are you going to allow? Troubles come on everybody. A lot of people look at me and Jeremy and they think, them people don't even know what a problem is. Look here, we got more problems than probably all of y'all put together. Here's what we've learned to do though. See, I've been in my house, Mama Brenda, on depression binges over the past 2 years. I know what it's like to not be able to get out of bed and get in the shower and I stink. I know what that's like. I also know what it's like to have my husband's big old fat arm over on me and say, God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over this woman that she gave me. God, I bind up that spirit of depression that's coming over her. God, I don't allow it coming up into my house. Getting my butt downstairs and pleading the blood of Jesus over my home, over my family, and saying, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I don't allow it. I bind it up right now. My family will be whole. They will be exactly what God has called us all to be, every last one of them. You know what? My sister over there, her butt is going to come up in God's house, and she's going to serve Jesus. Because look here, I ain't going to have it any other way. See, I know what it's like to be torn every which way but loose and to be worried and concerned. But look here, it's time to sober up. Sober up. Stop drinking out of that despair cup. Start drinking off of the living God, which says in Jesus' name they're coming in. Whatever the devil has stolen from you, God will restore it. You better catch a vision. You better catch a vision. Because see, that's how it happens. You begin to see that. You begin to see it. Sometimes I come out here and I just sit in the parking lot. Why? Because I'm trying to catch a vision. Trying to catch that vision. I told Dad the other day, I said, don't you see, blah, 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 blah. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Michelle, it says that it's working out. He says, I'll cause everything to work out for the good of those that love me. That means when it looks all like it's going to heck, doesn't matter what it looks like. If you love God. If you love God. See, the world is full of people that saying, yeah, I love Jesus. There's no action. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know how many people that thought they would be in heaven, ain't going to be in heaven. You know how many people we judge and we thinking, ah, that person's awful. They're going to be in heaven. Got news for you. One time, Jeremy and I, when we were in our 20s, we bought our first house together. Here's the sense of humor that God's got. I dated this old boy, and I did not end things very nicely with him. I was in the wrong. I never made that right. Guess what? We bought that house. I kid you not. About a month later, he bought one too, and we was next door neighbors for 8 years. And Pastor Jeremy is so sweet. He'd be out there mowing the yard, and I mean, Jeremy's going to wave at everybody. He'd come in the house, and he'd go, Kelly? Oh, so-and-so, I've been waving at him, and he ain't waving back at me. I thought, yep, you don't know what I did to him. I done broke his heart. Never apologize. Look here. There's things we got to get right. Being sober-minded, it's time for that. Because if you're not, you're going to get that heart weighed down. When that heart gets weighed down, let me tell you what will happen. Another translation in Luke, it says, take heed to yourselves lest your heart be overcharged. What does that mean? It means, Mike, if we don't pay attention to our lives, little teeny tiny things that don't amount to anything, we won't even be able to handle those things. It's like a battery. When you ruin a battery real good and it won't hold a charge, Christians, when they keep drinking out of that cup that's never getting no better, everything's terrible, we keep on doing that, Danielle, it's going to come to a point where that heart, something, look, you may get a flat tire and it's just like, oh, the apocalypse is coming and the world's coming to an end because we've been sipping on that cup too much and we're drunk as skunks and we can't even handle little life issues. Time to get sober-minded because God's got some things for people to grab a hold of during the middle of this mess. And so in 1 Peter chapter 13, it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action and be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. How many of you can say, I've lived in ignorance at times? Look here. We all have. I hope we're getting out of that. But it says, don't conform to those type of desires that you once had. The problem with the believer, Brother Alvy, is some believers, they still doing some things they know darn well ain't right. Now, if I was Miss Popularity, I would just let that slip by. But I'm not. I'm going to pound it in a little bit. When you know that something that you're doing is sin and you continue to do it, that's called willful, perpetual sin. There's no part of it God can bless. We have to give God something that he can bless. Many people, they'll say to me, Pastor Kelly, everything in my life has fallen apart. And I tell them, when was the last time that you felt like it wasn't falling apart? Go back. Start again. Many people, they don't want to start again because they're so prideful. Hello, big sister. I'm so glad you're here. We got to get to that place, kitty. There ain't no shame in that. We fall off. It's like when Brother Tommy gets up there and he sings. Sometimes. Where is Brother Tommy?
Bathroom.
Bathroom. Hi, Brother Tommy. There are times where Brother Tommy, he'll get up there, and maybe he missed a part of that song. I love when he gets up there, and he's like, hold on a minute. Let's restart. No, turn it up. Turn this down. Let's get this to where it's really right. I like that because to me, if you start out, Melissa, and you know something's wrong, and you keep going, it's going to get wronger. But by golly, if we'll stop and get back and say, okay, now God, somehow here I got off. Help me to start again. God will give you the grace that's needed to start again. Glory. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all that you do. Be holy in all that you do. Just as he's holy, he's saying, be holy. Be holy. Now look here. I'm not the pastor that's going to sit up here and act like I ain't got a little devil up in me sometimes and I don't want to show out. Because you give me the right circumstances, I'm going to have to fight that urge to just not show out. If you think, look here, one time I was in Walmart, somebody smarted off to my husband. She was about 400 pounds. That didn't matter to me. I said, what did you say, girl? Nothing. You right. I thought, I don't know how this is ending, but it ain't good. I told my dad, I am trying to forgive somebody, and until I know I can behave, I'm not even going to go to the town that they're in. Setting myself up for disaster. I've had enough disaster. I'm praying God's just going to let me run into them and I can do the right thing. Live holy as he's holy. What's going on is the believer, if we ain't careful, we're getting off in some of our thinking, some of our actions. And what we're seeing is problems coming up. Why is there a problem? Where did you leave God? Did you leave him in your finances? Did you leave him in your marriage? Did you give God what he wanted out of your life? See, I don't like being responsible for a bunch of people and feeling like I don't know what's going on. Look here. When something's wrong with y'all, something's wrong with me. I don't like it when y'all go through stuff. When one member of the body hurts, we all hurting. That's why I preach the way I do. Maybe a little gruff, but y'all get it. I don't know if it's really gruff, Mikey, or if it's just, that's just how it is. Keeping it real. If you sugarcoat somebody, I have sugarcoated in the past. Whoop, went right over everybody's head. You just tell it like it is. People are like, ah, she's such a jerk. She was preaching right at me. Amen. Praise God. At least you've got it. Hallelujah. Go back to talking about what a jerk I was when it got your soul out of hell. And so it says, be holy because I'm holy. Why? You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to know why about everything. I've stopped that. Because I've been miserable one too many times. God, why do you want me to do this? God, what the heck? No. God's telling you whatever he's telling you because it's your best bet at having a good, wholesome life. That's what he has for you. God doesn't want you always in despair, always not having enough, always upset, always being in a wrong scenario. No, God has you thriving. Don't mistake that. I had somebody call me the other day for advice, and they said, I got this person, and they don't feel like they're saved. Let me tell you something. It's never a matter of what we are, Michelle. Could you ever really be good enough for Jesus? He who had no sin, he took the sin, and he became the sin. We put so much unnecessary pressure on our lives. It's not about us. It's about what He did. It's not about the thing that you did that you hope nobody ever finds out about. It's about the thing that He did that people been trying to get to know. Well, nobody can talk about it in the schools. Nobody can talk about it on the town square. Nobody can talk about this. See, it's that action that will never be undone. Because, see, He did that. He would have done it if it was just for you. But He did it for everybody. And all these wonderful people trying to undo what Jesus did. No, there's a day coming every knee is going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. We got to put God first. We got to keep Him first. We have to acknowledge Him in everything that we do. Everything that we do, we have to acknowledge His presence, acknowledge that He's there. We have to stop getting so drunk off of all of our things that come up. I'm the world's worst. I'm like, God, you sure you want me to pray to preach about this? Because I'm pretty terrible at not getting drunk off my own problems. I got people on speed dial, and they're people that talk me off of my crazy ledges. And when they pick up, I always go, now I need you to talk me off the ledge. It's a crazy one. Let me just tell you. And I'm drunk as a skunk on it. Look here. If you're offended because I'm talking about being drunk, you need to read your Bible. Because all over the world, believers are getting drunk off of what the devil's telling them. They're getting drunk off of the things that they're telling themselves. It's like Facebook. Oh my God, they're back together? Oh my God, they're split up. Oh, I'm like, Jeremy, wake up. Did you know that so-and-so, and he's like, a woman? He's like 5:30. I don't care what Sally Sue did. I'm like, I do. I don't care what time it is. I care. I want to know. And here it is. You're real nosy, you'll screenshot it because you know they're taking that stuff off. I want to have a permanent record. Brother Ernie's like, what? I'll give you some Facebook tutoring after this. It gets juicier, Ernie. So, there's many things in our lives. They may look a certain way. They really ain't that way. There were times that I felt like it was down for the count. There were times where I felt like I will never get out of this. This is a permanent thing. I'm going to have to live with it. God's always come through. God's never been late. If your kid gets in a thorn bushel, are you going to get them out? Yes, you are. Are you going to sit there before you get them out and be like, now, did you put yourself in here or did your little brother put you in here? No. You're going to get them out. See, some of us need to realize who Daddy God is, because Daddy God is not a child abuser. He loves you more than you'll ever know. If there's things that you've gotten yourself into and you think I'm going to have to live with this, look here. You're wrong. You're wrong. God knows and sees all things, Mama Brenda. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. You know, sometimes I question God. And I'm just going to be real vulnerable because, you know, if your pastor can just tell it to you like it is, you're going to have the gumption to just be real. The worst thing is when everybody just acts like, oh, you're okay, I'm okay. No, I don't have a problem. No, I'll tell you my problems every Sunday morning starting at 10:30. It's one of the ways that I keep myself straight because I faked a lot of things for a lot of years. You know what that did? Caused me to be confused about who I was. Took years for God to get that, help me out with that. So in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, the end of all things is near. And I want to tell you something. Whether you believe in Jesus in here today or not, whether you're a believer in here today or not, the end of all things is near. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to get all of his children. He's going to round us up. He's going to take us there with him. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, look here, he's going to come back and get his kids. Ernie, there's been many times over the past year where I've said, God, are you sure I'm supposed to be doing this? Because I'm not sure if I'm cut out for this. Because, see, I'd just soon bop somebody as to pray for them. God, last time I checked, I can't be bopping people, right? No. You're going to have to do something better than bopping them, Kelly. You're going to have to love them. Love them. Love them. I know what it's like to go up in a drug house and wrap my arms around one of the biggest druggies in town and cry with them. I know what it's like to go into prison and to minister to women and love them and take them and hold their hand and pray the prayer of salvation. Yeah, we're going to have days where we feel like, God, are you sure? We're going to have many more days that God validates you. See, wean yourself off of having to constantly be validated by everybody else. God validates you every day. God says, you're enough. There's so many people and you think, I'm just not enough. It doesn't matter what I do, I'm not enough. And God says, you're enough. You're enough. And I've got a big plan. I've got a big plan for your life. The end of all things is near, and therefore, be sober-minded. Why are we needing to be sober-minded? Because this thing is wrapping up. It's wrapping up. I didn't even really realize the extent of what a pandemic was until this corona thing. Wow. I just remember being in December and being like, oh, the year of 2020. 2020 vision. I'm like 7 months up into 8 months in this gig, and I'm going, oh, what was that? Lord, are we getting through this gig, or what's going on? I'm looking at 2020 like, what in the heck? But I also know that when God moves, he moves. There's been so much favor in the middle of disaster. We look at disaster and we get all concerned. It is concerning. I will say that. Certain things when you get up in a life trouble. But when you can sit down and you can say, God, I know that you're moving. And you can just begin to see how God sees it. Because see, what God sees is this thing is working out. I'm going to save you. See, a lot of people think, well, I got saved when I was 7, so I'm good. Look here. I got saved when I was 7 too. You know how many times the Lord's had to save me from my own self and my own disasters and my own decisions? Many times. He's never been late. But the end of this is getting closer and closer. And it's time for the believer to be who they were called to be and to stand firm and to know what God is calling them to do and be sober-minded. Be sober and be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant. What you see is no vigilance. People, well, I had somebody tell me recently, I'm not going to come to church on Sunday nights for about a month because I'm just too overwhelmed about my life. And I'm like, okay. See, there's no vigilance hardly in a lot of things anymore. We got to sober up and we got to be vigilant. And it says, the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. So that you can pray. So that you can pray. Be sober-minded so you can pray. Now, I had somebody the other night, not any one of you wonderful saints up in here, but I had somebody the other night drunk as a skunk call me up. And not spiritually drunk. No, they was drunk. They left me a long voicemail. Two, actually. One from them and one from the offending party. Every day when I wake up, it's like a new problem. It's like 5:30 and I'm sitting here listening to this and I'm like, what? I'm going to listen to this voicemail again. I listened to it like five times and I was like, what is the deal? People get real honest when they're drunk. I know you a preacher, but blah, 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 blah. I was like, well, you just tell it on yourself. That's been your problem for 20 years. And we all laughing. But I'm going to tell you the trap that the devil has. He'll get us drunk on our problem. He'll make that problem look bigger than God. And we'll drink out of that day after day, moment after moment, and we'll just consume it. It'll consume our lives. We can't think about nothing else. We can't nothing else. And before we know it, Crystal, we can't even pray because we've gotten ourselves, our hearts, so weighed down with that life trouble, that life issues, those things. And it says, stay sober-minded so you can pray. So you can pray. Have you ever come up in church and you thought, I can't even lift my hands, I'm so discouraged? Of course you have. That's where bringing the sacrifice of praise comes in. You don't go by what you feel. I don't wake up, sis, every morning and feel saved. Sometimes I wake up and I feel like I want to be a heathen that day. You know what I do? Just say, God, you've called me to this type of lifestyle. I'm going to behave, and I'm not going to be that heathen I'd like to be. A while back ago, somebody was cussing me out, and that's just what I did. The Holy Spirit put his hand over my mouth and said, shut up. You ain't who you used to be. And by the way, Kelly, this is where you went wrong a couple years ago. You opened your big mouth. Shut up and take it. I'm giving you the ability to take on some things that you would have never known how to take on had this not happened. It's called restraint. And so it says, be self-controlled so that you can pray. And above everything else, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply. If I could say an area of my life where I've missed it many times in the past, it was loving people. Because when people do stuff to us, what we want to do is get to have a knee-jerk reaction and disassociate from them in many types of ways. But it says here, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. See, when you really love somebody, you know they done wrong. You can tell that you've grown when you choose to cover over a multitude of their sins. Why? Because if you're real honest with yourself, you realize that that was what was done for you. That he covered over a multitude of our stuff. And so it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. You know, every talent that you have, God gave it to you. Every gift that you have, God gave it to you. Now, I wish I could sing, and I'm trying hard to learn how to play the piano. It's a real stretch. It's not a natural talent. It's what I'm having to work for. There's people got talent. I want to tell you something. God gave you that talent. Don't rob God of your talent. And then ask him to come through. Don't do that. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. Many times when we catch ourselves in our calling and we feel like we're being stretched, what we need to realize is we are going off of God's power, not our own. We're going off of God's strength, not our own. There are things, Michelle, that we go through. We could not go through them on our own. There's no way. But we have God, and he not only helps us to go through them, he thrusts us through them. There are things that people, they say, oh, no, I don't want to do that because I can't. And God's saying, no, I'm giving you my ability. Let's go off of me this time. Don't be looking at yourself. You go off of me. It's not all about what you got. It's about what he has. He has it all. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Last place for me, 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 6. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And I want to tell that person in here today, you've come up in here and you're troubled. You come up in here and you say, God, I don't know how you're going to work it out. God, I don't know what we're going to have to do. Lord, I'm in a mess. God, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Boys in that sound booth, if you would put my music on, I would so appreciate it. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. That's your first step. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. God can work miracles with somebody that'll just be humble. Just be humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. There's people in here, what you need is God to lift you up. God's saying to you, I'm going to. There is a time and a place I'm going to lift you up. What you're going through isn't permanent, it's temporary. I'm going to need you to practice some humility to get you there. I'm going to need you to sober up to get you there. Quit looking at the situation. Look at me. Look at me. See, when Jesus was walking on the water, he said, now come on. Sometimes you got to get yourself up out of that boat and come on. Don't look at, can I do it? It's nothing to do with you. He can do it. He can do it. He's done it so many times for you, he'll do it again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Be sober-minded. the alert. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now I want you to pay attention. Like a roaring lion. He isn't one. The devil's got a big bark. He's like a chihuahua. I have one. She's my pride and joy. She got a big bark. You'd think she was a big old husky or something. And you look at that little thing, she's like this big. She's just barking her little head off. That's what the devil is. When this whole thing, Kitty, is over, we're going to look at him and we're going to say, is that the one that deceives the nations? That thing? The devil's got a big bark. And so resist him standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering, and that the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and steadfast. What people need in here is restoration, strength, and they need God to put their hand on them and just make them steadfast, make them solid. It's time for every person to be sober-minded. To be sober-minded. Because God wants to move in your life. The devil does too. If the devil can get you drunk on his lies, he will. If the Lord can get you to believe the promises of him that are found in his word, he's going to set you free. So how do you end something like this? Well, here's what I would say. If you're in here today, here's what I've learned in almost 3 years of Celebrate Recovery. I've seen them all kinds. You got to get them in there. And you got to get them to get sobered up. Got to get them in there. You can tell when they're drunk. Tell when anything. What you want is you want to get through to that part of them. And so if you're in here today and you say, you know, I've focused too much on my problem. I've made it bigger than what it is. I keep looking at that problem and drinking out of that cup. And I don't want to do that, but I find myself doing that. You ever done something and you thought, I don't want to do that, but I just found myself in the middle of doing it again? What God is calling people to do today is to sober up. How do we do that? You take that thing that's getting you drunk and you set it to the side. In the natural realm, when people want to sober up, they take the beer and the alcohol and the drugs and they get that out of the house. They flush the stuff down the toilet. All that kind of thing. See, God wants it out of your house today. We do that by saying, God, I'm having an issue. Every time I try to feel better about this situation, I keep on getting worried about it. I wake up, and instead of thinking about how good you are, God, I start thinking about the problem. And you find yourself over and over. If you're having trouble in here today, and you keep doing that, I want you to stand, because I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will give you strength and grace to where you can be that sober-minded believer. Y'all lift your hands. God's about to meet you right where you're at. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now that you've given us a sound mind right now. God, I speak towards any hindrance in the mind, and I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you've helped us to be clear-minded. Lord, you've not given us the spirit of fear, but you've given us power, love, and a sound mind. And God, I call down that sound mind on your people right now. God, I ask that you'd sober them up, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you'd make a way for them, God, where there hasn't been a way. Lord, I thank you, God, right now that they're becoming clear-minded right now in Jesus' name. God, that they see you at work instead of everything that the devil is telling them. And God, we give this to you right now. God, we give it and we don't take it back. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you. God, I ask that you would protect your people. God, you'd bring them back safely tonight. God, and help them. God, I ask for restoration and resolution right now in Jesus' name. God, for the areas in their life that are crooked, they need you. God, I thank you that you're making every path straight. You're working all things out for your good. And we call it done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've got a bunch of produce back there. If everybody that we talked in the leadership meeting would